Hare Krishna. It is my great fortune to be with all of you this evening. Thank you very much for coming. Special gratitude to Brajahari Prabhu, Kapila Prabhu, Mukunda Madhava Prabhu, and all of the leaders of Sri Radha Ras Bihari Mandir for giving me this chance to serve all of you. I was warned by Brajahari Prabhu that there was much wind on the terrace tonight. And then I asked him what he would like me to speak about, and he told me his favorite subject were the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. So I will try to combine the two. Actually, through Prahlad's life, he taught us how to see Krishna in every situation. By the association of Narada Muni, when he was in the womb of his mother, he received this enlightenment in Bhagavad Dharma. The effect of that association was that Prahlad, he became completely attached to the loving service of Krishna and detached from everything of this world before he was even born. Hearing Narada Muni speak the glories of Lord Krishna, it made such a deep impression. It awakened that prema within him. And from that time, he was always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. And obstacles come in everyone's path. It is said, Mahajano yena katha sapanda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that the only possibility of attaining love for Krishna is through following in the footsteps of the great souls. And specifically, one of the 12 Mahajans is Prahlad Maharaj. Krishna reveals the most important lessons to the world through his devotees. All of us have to struggle with challenges in our devotional service. Bhima Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. But what were the challenges of this five-year-old child? His father was Hiranyakashipu. Just to somehow or other try to prevent him from worshiping Krishna, Hiranyakashipu devised such methods of intimidation. And when the intimidation and fear didn't work, then he tried to murder him. Prahlad was never disturbed. He was always the same. The amazing thing is Hiranyakashipu would get so mad at Prahlad he would ask Prahlad Maharaj, what is the best subject you learned in school? And Prahlad, he told him that, my dear father, one who is attached to materialistic family life like yourself, who thinks the body to be the self, and who forgets his eternal relationship with Krishna, is like a person who's fallen into a deep, dark well where there is no water and nobody hears him call. So, my dear father, you should go to the forest of Vrindavan and take shelter of Krishna. Prahlad was very intelligent. He knew that it was Vishnu or Krishna who actually killed Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu's dearest friend and brother, and that Hiranyakashipu vowed publicly before the whole universe that he would kill his deadliest enemy, Vishnu. And Prahlad's telling him to go to Vrindavan and worship Krishna. That is your only hope, father. At first, the father was just, what has happened to my son? He told his teachers somehow or other that he's been contaminated by our enemies. Make him right. And Prahlad was so respectful and so attentive in all of his classes. And the teachers were so proud that they made him such a good student, just what Hiranyakashipu wanted him to be. So they brought Prahlad Maharaj to his mother, who bathed him and put nice dresses and ornaments on him, and they all brought him to father again. And his father said, so please tell me now, what are you learning in your school? What is your best subject? And little Prahlad told his father, essentially in so many verses, he said, my dear father, Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova, that you are so attached to your senses and sense gratification. A person like you can never understand Krishna or the goal of life, either by your own endeavors, with the help of others, or the combination of both. Puna punas charavata charavananam. You are simply chewing what you've already chewed again and again and again. My dear father, Saravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. If you actually want to attain the goal of life, you should take to these 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting and remembering the glories of Krishna. Now, we were discussing how it's windy tonight. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, of purifiers, I am the wind. And the very purpose of life is to become purified. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhaya abhyantara suchi. Whether one is purified or unpurified, if one remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes purified both within and without. Kapila Dev tells us that the culmination of all the rules, regulations, and all the philosophical principles given in all the scriptures of the world is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Because by remembering Krishna, we become purified. So Krishna tells us that of purifiers, I am the wind. On a material platform, in due course of time, the wind purifies everything. And when we remember that Krishna is the wind, then by feeling the wind, we become purified because we remember Krishna. This was the secret that Prahlad gave to us. In every situation, he was remembering Krishna. And he alas told his father, Naishamatishtavarurukramangrim, that if you want to become purified, my father, there's only one way. You must bathe your entire body with the dust from the feet of those persons who are detached from this world and who love Krishna. There's no other way of attaining the true goal of life. To take the dust of the feet of all the great devotees and smear it on every limb of your body. Now this was quite an insult, because Hiranyakashipu hated the sadhus, the Vaishnavas, and the Brahmins. And here Prahlad is telling Hiranyakashipu to do abhishek with the dust of their feet. That means to take the most humble, menial spirit of their servant. And he told there's no other way. At that moment, Hiranyakashipu was so outraged that he threw Prahlad Maharaj down onto the floor and ordered his military to kill him by any means. And they tried so many methods. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, it just describes some of the methods. Incredibly creative. They were throwing him in pits of snakes, throwing him in fire, throwing him in the ocean, throwing him off mountains, giving him poisonous food, piercing him with tridents and spears. But little Prahlad, whether he lived or died, was of no consequence to him. He was living to serve Krishna. He was willing to die to serve Krishna because he knew Jivara Swaropoi Krishnara Nitya Das, that he was eternally a servant of Krishna. And you see, there is no one and nothing that can take that away from a devotee. Bajahure manasri nanda nandana abhaya charanaravindare. The poet Govinda Das prays, just my dear mind, just worship Sri Nanda Nandana Krishna, and you will be fearless at his lotus feet. Because you see, once we taste the sweetness of true bhakti, then our only purpose of existing is to serve Krishna. Samsidhir Hari Toshanam. Our only happiness and purpose is to please Krishna. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das, that we are all eternal servants of Krishna. When we awaken that spirit of service to Krishna, there's nothing to fear, because that's the only thing of any real value, and nothing and no one can ever take it away from us. Why are we afraid? We're afraid of losing something that's dear to us. We're afraid of losing our life because this body is very dear to us. We are afraid of losing our peace of mind because mental happiness is dear to us. We are afraid for our relatives and our friends. We're afraid for our property and the things we own. We may lose them. So fear is because everything that we consider valuable is vulnerable and subjected to the inevitable fate of death. So this is Martyaloka. It's a place where so much fear. And in this world today, people generally become very great materially because of their fear. Because it motivates them so strongly to accomplish so much, to conquer, to achieve. But when we understand the only real wealth, the true treasure of life, is service to Krishna, then we're fearless. Because nothing could take that away. Even time and death cannot take away our service to Krishna, because we are eternal servants of Krishna as spirit souls, atmas. The Jiva Dharma, the eternal occupational nature of the soul, is to serve Krishna with love. If only we fix our mind on that, then everything in life makes sense. Little Prahlad, he didn't study martial arts. He didn't have a big, strong body. He was just 5 years old. And here was his father, who was the most powerful man in the entire universe. He had incredible mental strength, unbelievable physical strength, due to benedictions from Lord Brahma, that he could not be conquered by anyone, even the greatest of the demigods. Hiranyakashipu focused his entire wrath, hatred, and anger on little Prahlad. They were face to face. Can you imagine being insulted by Hiranyakashipu? Could you imagine being stared at with such anger? The Bhagavatam tells that when he lifted even one of his eyebrows in anger, all the demigods trembled in fear. Well, he was raising so many eyebrows at Prahlad. But the amazing thing is he couldn't make Prahlad angry. Usually anger is contagious. When somebody gets angry at you, you become angry. Even if you're trying to be nice and peaceful and cool, saintly, sadhuly, and somebody starts screaming at you, no! It's a natural reaction. What a humiliation for Hiranyakashipu. He could not, with all of his prowess, make Prahlad angry with him for even a second. He didn't even have the power to make Prahlad dislike him or even say anything impolite to him. Even when he was preaching Bhagavad Dharma, he was doing it with such honor and respect. He called him best, oh best of the demons, which is actually a great compliment. He always bowed down to his father. If Hiranyakashipu could just get Prahlad to not bow down to him, at least he did something. At least he affected him in some way. He's not bowing down to me, or he's not folding his hands to me, or he's angry with me, or he's not talking to me. Something! The little Prahlad was unaffected. Why? Jivera Swarupoi Krishnadar Nitya Das. Because his treasure in life was to serve Krishna. And there was, he knew that there was nothing and no one that could take that away from him. And if Hiranyakashipu, he tried to kill him in so many ways, he wasn't disturbed. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, there are two people who are considered to be non-different than Prahlad. Srila Haridas Thakur and Srila Basudev Dutt. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces and he never got angry. He was just chanting the names of Krishna the whole time and begging Krishna to forgive his executors. And Basudev Dutt prayed that every living being in the universe be liberated and all their karma come on his head, so he could have the honor of suffering hellish conditions perpetually to show compassion to them. Because this would please Krishna. It was his service to Krishna. So even going to hell for Vasudev Dutt was an honor if it's to serve Krishna. Prahlad's great message. It was his realization. Because of his association with Narada Muni and the blessings he received, he wanted to share that with his father. The only way to become purified is to render humble service to the great souls. Shushusho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Pundya Tiratana Sevana. The Bhagavatam tells us that the taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord will completely cleanse the heart. But that taste comes when we humbly serve the great souls. There are many examples. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once walking after crossing the Ganga from Sri Mayapur Dham. He was in Koladweep. And there, the house of the father of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was. And he walked by that house, and just close by was an ashram of a very, very famous scholar of the name Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was very austere. He lived an extremely simple life, very, very pious life as far as moral principles, and he was totally immersed in studying and teaching Srimad Bhagavatam. But because he had not been blessed by the opportunity to serve a devotee, he had a completely wrong conception of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He considered the goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam to be mukti. The kind of mukti where you merge into the all-pervading, impersonal aspect of the Supreme.
And although every page of the Bhagavatam is teaching bhakti, he spoke nothing about bhakti. He had no appreciation, no understanding, no realization, and yet he was considered a great scholar. And so many students. He was famous. He was renowned as a speaker of the Bhagavatam. And one day, when Lord Gauranga was walking by with his students, he happened to hear Devananda Pandit speaking. And Lord Chaitanya became angry. But you see, when the Lord becomes angry, it's out of compassion for all living beings. It's for everyone's well-being. And he said, who is this rascal speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? He doesn't know anything about Sharanagati or devotion, surrender. What right does he have to speak from this scripture? And then he said, I will go and tear up his Srimad Bhagavatam so he can't read from it anymore. Then he started to run there and his devotees held him back. Devananda Pandit heard it, and it affected him, but he couldn't understand. You see, even the word of the Lord cannot penetrate your heart until you take the dust of the feet of his dear devotees. So hard-hearted as he was, he just went on and just thought, Lord Gauranga, just some emotional person. But then Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri. And soon after that, Vakreshwar Pandit, a great loving devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He had such beautiful qualities. May I tell you something about Vakreshwar Pandit? He would love to chant and dance in kirtan. One time, he danced for 72 continuous hours. And from the beginning of the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya was so enthusiastic to see him dancing that Lord Chaitanya chanted. And as Lord Chaitanya was chanting, Devananda Pandit couldn't stop dancing, and as Devananda Pandit was dancing, Lord Chaitanya couldn't stop chanting. So they were both, Mahaprabhu was chanting and he was dancing for 72 continuous hours. And finally, because they're in this world, they have to stop sometime. When Lord Chaitanya finally stopped chanting, Devananda Pandit fell at his lotus feet. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's written in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He spoke with such deep satisfaction in his heart. He said that you are like my wing. If I had another wing like you, I could fly in the sky. How he praised his devotee. So Vakreshwar Pandit had such good qualities. He came to Devananda Pandit's ashram to perform kirtan. And Devananda Pandit, somehow or other, he welcomed him. And just by doing that, everything in his heart began to change. By offering that little service of, yes, you are welcome to have kirtan in my ashram, he rendered service to a Vaishnav, to a devotee. And then he developed respect for Deva, for Bhakreshwar Pandit, and love for him. He wanted to serve him. He wanted to please him. As Bhakreshwar Pandit was dancing and dancing, there were so many crowds of people because he danced so beautifully. Devananda Pandit was an elderly man. He was a smart Brahmin. He had a stick, and he would keep the crowds away so Bhakreshwar Pandit could dance without people crashing into him. And when Bhakreshwar Pandit would slip to fall because of ecstasy, Devananda Pandit would catch him. And he would lay him on his lap. And he would whisk the dust from his body. He really, deeply in his heart, developed a desire to please and serve a Vaishnava. And because of that, from his heart awakened love for Lord Chaitanya. He understood that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Koladweep from Mayapur on his way to Vrindavan for the first attempted trip, Devananda Pandit was one of the people who came to beg forgiveness and to surrender his life. But he was afraid, because last time he saw Lord Chaitanya was chastising him very severely. So he was at a distance, bowing down. And Mahaprabhu saw him and said, "Oh, you have served Bhakreshwar Pandit. Therefore, I am yours and you are mine. Please come." Lord Chaitanya said, "Bhakreshwar Pandit, whoever bows down to him bows down to Krishna. Because of his love for Krishna, Krishna is always in his heart. And therefore, whoever serves him serves Krishna. And when Bhakreshwar Pandit dances, we should know that it is Krishna dancing through his body, moving his limbs in reciprocation to his love. Yes, you have served and pleased my devotee. Come forward and ask of me anything you like." Devananda Pandit, he said, "My Lord, I only want to be the servant of your servants. But my life is in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. How should I speak Srimad Bhagavatam?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a beautiful explanation. In essence, he said, the only possible way of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam is through the process of Sharanagati. Unless we surrender to the Lord does not reveal these hidden truths. Krishna tells in Gita, "Ye jatamam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyaham." According to how we surrender to him, Krishna reveals himself accordingly. You should know, Devananda, Lord Gaurhari said, that every single syllable of every word, of every verse, of every canto of the Bhagavatam speaks about nothing but pure, unalloyed devotional service, bhakti. That is the culmination. It is the Amala Puranam, the spotless Purana. It kicks out from the very beginning all sub-religious principles. People worship God for economic development, for sense gratification, for religious piety, for even liberation from all suffering. And most of the Vedic literatures describe these things in a particular perspective according to the Shastra. But the Bhagavad Purana dismisses all of these goals of life to exclusively expound the Purushartha Siromani, the crest jewel of all goals in life, which is Prema Pumartha Mahan, ecstatic love for Krishna. Ahoy tiki apratihata. Savai pungshang puro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahoy tiki apratihata yayatma supraseedati. This verse is a summary of the entirety of the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. That the supreme dharma is unalloyed loving service to the Supreme Lord. That service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted by any egoism, by any selfishness, or by any circumstance. Lord Chaitanya explains that the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the most intimate pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And the 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam are preparing our consciousness to understand the love of the gopis and the gopas of Sri Braj Bhumi. This is how the Srimad Bhagavatam should be spoken. Devananda Pandit, because he humbly served the Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his own lotus feet on the head of Devananda and gave him the highest perfection, ecstatic love for Krishna, and gave him the power to give ecstatic love of Krishna to others. In 1972, in 1976, I was at a lecture series of Srila Prabhupada, and every day he was speaking from the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. How deeply, how compassionately he wanted to impress within our hearts that the only thing of any true value in all the 14 worlds is pure devotional service, love for Krishna. And Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. The greatest benediction in all of creation is the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. Because the Holy Name has the power to purify our hearts. Because it is pavitra. It is all pure. Actually, during that time when he was speaking, this was 1976, he was giving an initiation after his Srimad Bhagavatam class one day. And one devotee came up to him and he told the 4 regulative principles. He vowed to chant at least 16 rounds every day. Srila Prabhupada held out the beads. Then he pulled the beads back. Said, "Where is your Kanti Mala?" He didn't have a neck beads on. And the poor boy, Everyone was watching. He was speechless.
Prabhupada was very heavy. He said, where is your neck beads? He said, who is the rascal who recommended you?
So we were all as afraid as he was. And then someone put the neck beads on him. And then Prabhupada smiled and said, yes, come. And Prabhupada had a big smile and he gave him the beads.
Krishna likes this story.
So Srila Prabhupada smiled and handed him the beads and said, your name will be Pavitra Das. So Prabhupada said, this is the name of Krishna, which means he's all pure. And when we associate with Krishna, we become purified. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. And Krishna has descended in this age of Kali in his holy name. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The holy name has descended from Goloka. Krishna has descended in his name just to purify us. But you see, although we can become, our life can be to some extent transformed by hearing the names, but when the devotees, when attracted by Srila Prabhupada's compassion, when they served him either personally, when I mean personally, I mean physically, or if they served them personally by serving his instructions, or served him personally by serving his mission, through that spirit of service, or being the servant of the servant of the servant with a sincere heart, it actually makes our heart receptive for the holy names to take the most powerful effect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that Bhakti Lata, the Guru, awakens this seed of devotion in our heart. And we water that seed through hearing and chanting. Service to Guru, service to Vaishnavas, is like fertilizing the field of the heart to make the watering process most effective. So when the wind blows, we could remember Krishna. Krishna tells of purifiers, I am the wind. And any time we feel the wind, we could remember how Krishna purifies us through giving us a chance to serve the devotees, through giving us a chance to chant the holy names of the Lord, through giving us a chance to share this blessing that Prabhupada gave the world with others. Just last month we had our book distribution marathon, and Radharas Bihari Temple is always one of the most enthusiastic temples and congregations in the whole world for sharing this gift. Because what is the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books? It's personally giving Srila Prabhupada to these people. Srila Prabhupada told us that he will live forever in his books. Srila Prabhupada said that his purports were his devotional ecstasies. How they transformed our lives. We want to give that association, that most sweet, purifying association of Srila Prabhupada's Vani. In receiving, people are divinely blessed. And in giving, we are divinely blessed. I congratulate you for your incredible good fortune. In whatever situation may come, it is an opportunity to remember Krishna and become purified. Happiness, distress, success, failure, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, health, disease. This is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. The opportunity to grow, to become purified, and to be happy in all situations of life. Can I tell you one more story? Please sit down. It's a short story. It's a story of hope. Just last month, I was invited by the Young President's Organization to Bahrain. Do all of you know what Bahrain is? I didn't know till I got there. But it's an Arabian country in the Middle East. It's a little island, and by land you have to go through Saudi Arabia to get to it. And by Krishna's grace, I was sitting there giving a lecture to 30 Arabian Muslims. And they were extremely receptive and nice. And to reciprocate, the next day one of the people wanted to take me to see the country. So they said, would you like to come? I said, yeah, I will come. So this man and his wife, they took me in their car. And I asked, you know, where do you want to take me? They said, where do you want to go? And I said, well, I don't know. What is here? They said, we have desert. Would you like to see the desert? He gave me a few choices: to see a shopping mall, I never liked shopping malls, to see the Saudi Arabian border, or to see the desert. And then they said, oh, but the best place in the desert is the tree of life. How many of you have seen the tree of life? Please raise your hands. Some people have gone there. So I said, sounds interesting. Tell me about the tree of life. They told me that it's in this desert. Nothing for miles and miles grows except this one tree. And nobody knows how this tree
keeps growing.
So I was very happy. I said, yes, let us go to the Tree of Life. Now these people, they were born and raised in Bahrain. They, you know, they're Arabian Muslim people, very refined, very accomplished, very highly educated. So they drove into the desert with me, and we got totally lost. And husband and wife are talking, you know, where is this? She's saying this way. He's saying, no, no, this way. And he's saying, they're saying, why did you go this way? Why don't you go this way? I told you to go that way. I said, no, no, you told me to go this way. And I was thinking, this is a universal, a universal truth beyond all cultural, religious differences. Some things are always in common. The husbands and wives having differences of opinion. And I'm a Swami sitting just... I wasn't going to interfere. So, you know, we're going, we're turning around, we're going in circles, we turn around again, and we're going, and they're looking at... they have their iPhones with their Google Maps, and they're looking it up, and they're looking... And somehow or other, about 45 minutes of just driving around the desert, I just said, there it is. And they looked, and there it was. They said, you know, we were born and raised here. And we've been there so many times, we couldn't find it. How did you find it? I said, because there it is. You said it's the only tree in the desert, and that's the only tree. So anyways, we went to this Tree of Life, and I sat under it and was chanting japa. And looking around, it's quite incredible. There is not another tree as far as the eyes could see. Just hot, dry sand. It's really desert. And they were telling me that in that place, 6 months a year, the average temperature is between 110 and 120 degrees Fahrenheit. And the other 6 months, it's almost that hot. And there are so many times a year massive, burning hot sandstorms. That's where the wind is really purifying. Where massive winds come and all the sand just covers everything. And if you're there, it's not very healthy. And there's no water. They gave me different interpretations. Some scientists said that the closest water is an underground stream that's over 2 kilometers away. So how that means it has to have roots that go 2 kilometers away and then suck that water and bring it back to the tree. That's a speculation, because they don't know if that's true. Other scientists say that the tree has a mystic power, because this Persian Gulf is close by, and the winds come from the Persian Gulf, and they say that this tree has, just for survival's sake, has learned how to extract the moisture from the breeze and keep it alive. And others say that the tree has actually learned the art for survival of putting pressure on sand and extracting moisture from that. Hare Krishna. And other people believe that According to the Genesis section of the Bible, it begins with the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve lived. They claim that the spot that that tree is the Garden of Eden that's spoken about in the Bible. And because it's that spot, it has a special blessing to live. So these are all speculations. But whatever the reason is, the amazing thing, dry desert. Nothing lives for miles and miles around. The tree is, in fact, over 400 years old. It's a very, very large tree, and it's totally covered with green leaves. Tens and thousands of green leaves on it. How is it living? Hare Krishna. It's one of Krishna's messages through nature that in any situation, however difficult, Srila Prabhupada said impossible was a word in a fool's dictionary. In whatever situation we're in, Krishna's grace is always there for us. And we could flourish. When I was there, I was thinking about how a devotee could flourish in any situation, even in this desert of material existence. I was remembering our little Stoka Krishna Prabhu. He was a brahmachari for some years. It's very dear to Bhima Prabhu. And then he got married. And while I was taking care of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, or not taking care of him, but I was in his association at Gita Nagari, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was leaving this world gradually from cancer. And in the last couple weeks, I get a call from Bombay that Stoka Krishna Prabhu has cancer, the most fast-acting cancer. They said he would die within a month. I spoke to him on the phone. Then I went to Bombay after Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj passed from the world. Stoka Krishna Prabhu was still alive. And his wife just had a baby when he was in his last days, and she came with this little baby. And when I went to see him, he was smiling, such a beautiful smile. His eyes were wide and glistening. He was paralyzed, he couldn't move. And I'll never forget what he told me. Most people would ask, why is this happening to me? Why I served Krishna all my life for so many years? I'm only 32 years old. I'm suffering. I'm going to die. I just got married. I just had a little baby. Why is Krishna doing this? That's what an ordinary person would say. But he was asking a whole nother set of questions. Why? Why is Krishna so kind that he allowed me to chant his name so many times in my life? I didn't deserve it. Why did he allow me to distribute Prabhupada's books, so many of his books in my life? I didn't deserve to do that. Why did he allow me to read Prabhupada's books for so many years? And why did he allow me to attend so many Srimad Bhagavatam classes? And why did he allow me to go to so many Mangalartis? And why? Why did he allow me to associate with so many beautiful devotees for all these years? I didn't deserve that. I'm totally happy. I received so much in my life, and I'm so grateful. I have no regrets. I was remembering him when I was sitting under the tree of life. Yes, this world, for all of us, there are so many reasons we could complain, we could find faults, we can find excuses. But we'd make no progress doing that. And human life is meant to make progress. It's not meant to just complain and die. Radharani's grace, Krishna's grace, is there for everyone, always. And Srila Prabhupada taught us the art of connecting to that grace in every situation. With a humble heart, crying out the holy names. Thank you very much again.